Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12th and final round.
Right hand, Golovkin steps in and down he goes again.
Unbelievable.
Mayweather makes him pay. What a rookie mistake.
A sensational left hook by De La Hoya.
It's facts. I'm the best. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to believe it myself, but it's the truth. I'm the best.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
From Southern California, this is the Last Round Podcast.
All right, we're on location at the StubHub Center. Actually, it's the Dignity Health Sports Park, which is stupid to say. I hate saying that. It goes from Home Depot Center, StubHub, and now Dignity Health. But we're right here for Vargas versus Kameda. Immediately following the result, the event just ended. The last round team, Mike and I, are here on location covering. And we actually were going to dive into some analysis of the co-main event, which was Diego De La Hoya and Ronnie Rios, and which was my favorite fight of the night. I don't know about you guys, but and then obviously the main event with Kameda and Ray Vargas. But I heard some people in the stands calling him El Bandido Vargas, and then our partner over here, Anthony Stack Saldana, was like, "That's not Bandido Vargas." Getting mad at people, he wanted to throw a soda out the window, but he didn't. He calmed down. But jumping on the show, first time ever from NewYorkFights.com, Abe Lopez, welcome to the show, man.
Abe Gonzalez, this whole game.
Is it Gonzalez?
Yeah, it's Gonzalez.
You know what? I thought about the fighter, Abe Lopez. Sorry about that.
No, it's all good, man. I appreciate you guys having me on.
It's all right. We're live. It's all right. Don't worry about it, Mike. so this is kind of going to be a weird setup here because my co-host Mike, ironically, forgot the third mic. So we're gonna have to share over here. So you want to say something right now, Mike?
I brought the best mic, myself.
I guess. So he's right. So, Abe, you cover a lot of fights out here on the West Coast, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen you at a ton of events out here and stuff like that. We'll start with De La Hoya and Ronnie Rios. Before we dive into the analysis, who was your pick before?
So before, I thought that Diego, seeing him at the workout on Wednesday over at the West Side boxing gym, I thought that he looked like he was a little more prepared. And, you know, I favored him, obviously, coming into it, being that he was, I think, like next in line for, you know, possibly a shot at the title.
Yeah. Or at least maybe like a...
Or interim of some sort.
Yeah. He was getting close.
Yes.
He was obviously getting close. So on last week's show, I picked Ronnie. Mike picked De La Hoya. No. I thought you picked De La Hoya. No, he didn't. I was wrong. I think we were kind of going back and forth a little bit because it was a very intriguing matchup. And obviously, it delivered. It was my favorite fight of the night. Was it your favorite fight of the night?
I would have to say it's a tie with Joette Gonzalez.
You know what? That was actually a great fight, too.
Yeah.
That was a great fight, too. I don't know why they didn't put his brother on the card, too.
His brother was on the card.
Earlier. It was like
early, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because it...
I think we got here after.
That's right. Because he got the update on his phone.
That was for the guys that were getting sunburned.
Man, it was hot down here. So all you people, listening who don't live in Southern California, it was summertime right now. So it was extremely hot. Because the card started, 3 o'clock, Mike?
Yeah, I think about 3 o'clock. Hey, did you go to the weigh-in? No, I did not. Because we were speaking to some of the team beforehand from Rios and Rocha, and they were saying that at the weigh-in, they looked a bit drained, just looking in his eyes. Mm-hmm. So when we spoke to them beforehand, we kind of thinking, he struggles to make weight. This ended up being at 122 after we thought it was going to be, 126? Yeah. So kind of interesting to see that, they were kind of confident beforehand because they said he looked drained, his eyes were looking a bit distant. So...
Yeah, I'm glad you touched on that because on last week's show, because Mike looked up on BoxRec, and we could have swore that this fight between De La Hoya and Rios was at featherweight at 126. And are we mistaken? Because I feel like we talked about that fight at 126, and we talked about how, like, You know, obviously De La Hoya had some trouble making 122 the last couple times, and you know he's had the weight cut problems and everything. And then it was for the initially it was for the interim WBA title, and then it was switched to the gold title. So are we mistaken there? Are you know you as another boxing media member, of course. Was this always at 122 pounds, or was it ever at 126?
You know, to be honest with you, I didn't really catch on to that piece of it. That's news to me right now. I mean, it may be the same situation as Virgil Ortiz's fight, you know, two fights ago, where he was talking about campaigning at 140, and then the day of the weigh-in, the fight was at 147.
Yeah.
You
like,
know,
how crazy was that?
So we were like, okay, so you're 147 now. So right. Now he's campaigning officially at 147. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was a situation like that where, you know, they adjusted the weight based on, you know, whatever it is that they were trying to get into.
Right.
Whatever situation, title, or whatever.
No, right, yeah. Because, I mean, the last time Ronnie was on our show, him and his brother Lex, who also got his win tonight. So shout out to Alexis Rocha as well. Ronnie had mentioned that he could still make 122, but he said probably within a year he'd move up to 126. He was like, I think within a year I'm gonna have to move up. So I don't know, because we're like tripping out about that. We thought for sure it was at 126, and then it was switched. So I don't know what happened, Mike. What happened?
All that matters is he got the WBA gold. He got the WBA gold. That's what you all dream about as a kid.
Yeah. So, absolutely.
What did you think of the fight, though, Abe?
So I thought that the first round was a little bit of a figuring out, you know, kind of, you know, who's got what. But Rios hit Diego in the second round with a straight right. And I think that straight right changed it all. It got him thinking, and he's like, man, I don't know what I'm in store for, because he kind of stutter stepped a little bit. So that straight down the middle was it, but then he wasn't able to capitalize off of it. I started seeing Diego kind of breathe a little harder starting the third round, while Rios was a lot more composed in his breathing. So you could just tell chest was flaring up a little bit, and I think that Rios picked up on that and then started capitalizing in spots where he felt that Diego might be taking some time off or, you know, taking a break, and he jumped on him. And, you know, as a result, you know, he finished him off when he needed to. Initially, I thought it was a left hook only, but it was the left hook and the right uppercut that uppercut was
beautiful.
Was vicious. But yeah. I think that he was going to go down with the left hook anyway.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, it was going to be one of those delayed reactions where he got hit and he would have taken a knee, but he didn't have the opportunity to take the knee because he got hit with the follow-up right uppercut.
A little cherry on the top.
A little cherry on the top, and that's what did it.
It was good. You could see early on that Ronnie, I think everybody knows Diego struggles to make weight, so he was just going to the body early, just putting money in the bank, knowing that it's going to wear him down. And then I think we were told afterwards that Diego actually told the referee that he didn't feel well. And that was why he ended up being stopped, more than the referee just stopped it. So he didn't want to continue.
He just didn't want to continue. He said, no mas.
There you go.
Did he really say no mas? Because, like, some other people have told us that he did say that. Because, you know, obviously being in the arena, what some people don't know who don't go to live fights, it's very difficult to hear the PA system when they're doing, like, in-ring interviews. On TV, of course, it sounds great, but sometimes it's a little muffled during the speakers. So they're like, oh, what exactly did he say? Yeah. Did he really say no mas?
No, I mean, he didn't say no mas per se. I mean,
it was just kind of implied.
But he said, hey.
Because you can see it in his eyes.
Yeah, the ref asked him if he was okay, if he wanted to continue, and he said he did not.
Man. But the first couple rounds, though, the whole fight was competitive. They were going back and forth. But the first couple rounds, I felt like De La Hoya was getting the better of him and timing him a little bit more. Ronnie was still getting in his shots. And you can tell from the first round all the way until the knockout, he was just putting money in the bank with those body shots, just money in the bank. Like he knew it. He was like, look, this guy's had trouble in the past with weight cuts. I'm going to hit him in the body, slow him down. I think, maybe the fourth or possibly maybe fifth round or maybe probably the fourth, you saw De La Hoya's reaction time slow down just a bit where you can tell, okay, I think those body shots are slowing him down.
And I think that it was Rios playing the long game.
Yeah.
Like starting the second round. He knew that, hey, he's going to be there later. Let me just continue to work on what I needed to work on. And that, I think it was the fifth round when, you know, they went blow for blow. Mm-hmm. And that crowd was, like, roaring like if it was a gladiator arena. You know, they mm-hmm. were roaring because that's what they were looking for. That's what makes this place the Dignity Sports, but used to be the StubHub. Yeah. That's what established this being the war ground. So that fifth round was it, you know.
Right.
But even with that fifth round, I think once everything went, Diego realized that he might have been just a little bit outmatched.
Yeah. I mean, and I had talked to somebody in the boxing world who goes to all these fights. He's from Southern California. I won't mention his name because I don't want to throw him under the bus. But he did say he picked De La Hoya. And I asked why, because I was like, I don't know, man. Ronnie's very motivated. I like Diego, but I just feel the last 2 years for him, the weight cut, is just, I don't know. I think it's going to hurt him. And he was like, he's like, Ronnie's legs are gone. That's what he told me. I was like, what? Really? He's like, yeah. And he was like confident. And, you know, he knows the sport very well. And you know, he watches a lot of, like, he's a hardcore fan, mm-hmm. pretty much. But no, like you guys touched on, that ending combination from Ronnie at the end with that left hook to the body, and then he comes right under with that right hook or the right uppercut. Oh my God, that was beautiful.
Yeah, that was picture perfect right there.
Beautiful, man. That was so beautiful, and just makes him take a knee. And then, but even like at the camera shot, when the referee started counting on him or counting to see if he was going to get up, and then he gets up, you can just see in Diego's face, like in his eyes, it was just like, yeah, man, like. That was a good stoppage, because you know there's going to be some people like, oh, he got up, you should let him continue. I mean, what do you think? Should he have continued or
no? I think that it was going to be bad for him later, mm-hmm. even worse, I should say. I think, you know, he knew that he wasn't going to be able to change the outcome. So, you know, stop it now, mm-hmm. live to see another day.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. That's because we talked about that right before, or right after that happened. I was like, yeah, that was a good stoppage.
Yeah. What do you think is going to be next? Do you think they'll run it back? I think the fans enjoyed it.
Yeah, the fans enjoyed it. I don't think they're running it back, though.
No?
I think Diego is going to, you know, go to his 126 and figure things out. Or he just may, you know, go back to the drawing board and see what's next. I mean, you know, there's going to have to be... you know, he's not going to be able to fight a top 10 guy at 126. Like, he's going to have to build that up, build his confidence back up and all that, and then see what happens from there.
Do you think we'll see a Ronnie Rios, Ray Vargas too?
I don't know. I mean, maybe, but it sounds like, you know, the plan for Ray Vargas is going to be that unification next, even though I don't like that fight for Danny Roman. But that has to be... in his plan next, because I don't think that Ray Vargas makes 122 anymore in the future. And that'd be a good segue to get into the main event if you guys want to get into it at this moment.
Off you go.
Yeah.
So, great transition there. So, the main event. Ray Vargas gets the, I think on all three scorecards, what? 117, 110?
Yeah.
And it was a point deduction on the very last round. Ironically, just like our show, because Kameda got docked the point for that low blow. But, you know, ironically, you know, for some people who, you know, didn't listen to our show last week or they're not familiar with Kameda, Kameda has lived in Mexico for a long time and he knows Spanish. You look at the guy and you're just like, what the hell? Like, he's like essentially almost trilingual. I don't even know if he's learning English, but.
He doesn't.
I don't think he does. So he's bilingual. He's bilingual,
though.
But he had more fans in the building.
He did.
He had more fans in the building, and they booed Ray Vargas after he won. He retained his belt. He's still the WBC Super Bantamweight Champion. What did you think?
So I'll start off with the media workout on Wednesday. I saw Kameda full of confidence. Didn't look like he was sweating the weight. I saw Ray. Ray looked like, you know, it was killing him. And I even asked him about it. And I said, hey, you know, how much longer can you make it here, you know? And he did talk about, you know, moving up to 126 in the near future. So, you know, I had some questions about that. I thought to myself, maybe the weight might be too much. You know, the weight cut might be too much. It was hot today.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought that was going to play a part. You know, him having to rehydrate and it being hot, it just was going to be an uncomfortable situation. But the fight was interesting because depending on what you thought or depending on what you liked would determine the cards. So if you were into volume and maybe not so much effectiveness, you gave the fight to Vargas.
Right.
But if you were into effectiveness but maybe not so much volume, then you can see yourself giving the card to Kameda.
Right.
It was clear that Kameda was trying to get Vargas's attention with the left hook, with the counter left hook over Vargas's right.
Right.
That hit overhand right. And he was trying to establish to where he paid so much attention to that he was going to ignore Kameda's overhand right, and which he landed successfully throughout the whole fight.
Right.
Those were the two punches that Kameda landed all night.
Right.
And there were some rounds in there that, you know, Vargas didn't really do nothing. He had a Klitschko-like performance.
That's a very good analogy. I like it.
He had a Klitschko-like performance. It was a 1-2, hold.
Yeah.
1-2, hold. Mm-hmm. And when he got hit, hold. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what we saw tonight.
And the strange thing that, you know, if you watch Ray Vargas, obviously, over the years, is that he's obviously, most of the time at this weight especially, he's a taller, bigger fighter, but he always fights off the back foot. So you would think, like, with his size, he would kind of come forward a little bit more, but he always fights off the back foot. And you're right. I like that analogy. I'm going to steal that, so don't get mad at me. I'm going to use that Klitschko analogy. 1-2, hold. 1-2, hold. Because that's true. That's true, because that's what he does. Yeah. But you're right, though. It depending on how you watch the fight, how you score it, because everybody scores it differently. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, there's been crazy decisions in the sport of boxing, of course. And, you know, people are like, oh, I just score this stuff. But, like, different judges and different people watch it from different perspectives. Some people like the technical science behind it. Some people like the brawlers. Some people like the counterpunchers. I mean, it just depends. Mm-hmm. Just depends on how you watch it. I wasn't upset with the decision. I think, you know, Vargas did enough to win it, even though I did pick Kameda before. And like you said, subsequent fight, a unification fight with Danny Roman, obviously they're both under DAZN, so it's easy to make. Yeah. You know, there's no politics there. I mean, Danny Roman's what, Matchroom Boxing? Yeah. And Ray Vargas is
Golden Boy,
but they're under DAZN, same network. So, it should be easy. But you said that you don't like that fight for Danny.
I don't like that fight.
Why?
For Danny. Because of the height, the reach. I don't like it. Now, I like Ray Vargas against, like, Navarrete. You know, a guy like that. But, you know, of course, you have to play the sides of the street game, right? So they tend to play the game as far as working with each other, depending on who it is. You know, they'll, like they did Andy Ruiz with Joshua. You know, like they'll do the cross promotion and do it when it suits them. But I don't think a Navarrete and a Ray Vargas would fall into that category. Just like a Santa Cruz and a Warrington won't fall under that category either. So there's just certain guys that, you know, they'll be willing to do it, and there's some guys that won't. But I'd rather see Navarrete against Vargas, to be honest with you.
I think that's a more exciting fight. I think the size difference isn't as bad as Daniel Roman, and then every time Navarrete he throws with bad intentions, you know, just which is something I think could back up Vargas. Because like you said, I think Vargas and Daniel Roman, we would see another Klitschko style effective but not exciting fight, because he would just stay on the back foot. Because Danny Roman in his last couple of fights, really all he does is he's got to go to the body. And then fighting someone like Vargas, he's got to try and get inside that huge reach, so he's just going to get caught all day. So yeah, I would agree. Navarrete more effective, and then maybe Danny Roman would have to fight Ronnie Rios, because Ronnie Rios has now got the WBA gold, so what's that making mandatory?
Now, if you ask me, I would love to see Danny Roman against Brandon Figueroa. That would be a savage fight, because both guys' styles make fights, and their styles mesh well. That would be a savage fight that probably would fill all these seats up.
Because his last fight was one of the fight of the years, I thought, against Doheny.
Yeah.
That was when one, because every time I saw Danny Roman for Thompson's boxing, I kept thinking to myself, when he steps up to world level, I think he's going to get beat. He stepped up, won, and then every fight he just gets better and better. Better and better, and he just kind of rises to the challenge every time, and he's just keeps surprising me, stepping up. So that would be a good fight. I'd like that one.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Mike's not surprised easily either. He's not. Like today, he's watching all these fights. He's like, oh, I'm not impressed. I was like, shut up, Mike. Just enjoy the fights. So. But, you know, wrapping up here, since we do have a pretty significant fight next week, obviously we want to get your quick prediction. Manny Pacquiao, Keith Thurman, who you got?
I think I'm going to lean towards the old man,
Pacquiao. You know what? A lot of people, I'm leaning towards Pacquiao, and people are like, I don't know. I'm leaning towards Pacquiao. I think he's going to do it.
And just remember this. I think it's going to be the right hook to the body. That's going to set up the left, the straight left to the chest, and that's going to get Thurman into a lot of trouble. Mm. He might not finish him, but he'll win a 12-round decision, I believe.
Split? Unanimous?
Has to be split just for the purposes of the maintaining face.
So they run it back
For either one. They could run it back. You know, if Thurman loses, maybe he fights the winner of Porter and Spence, and then, you know, they can set up the rematch with Pacquiao later on. Pacquiao has mentioned that, or I should say Freddie Roach, you know, this is his last fight of 2019. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's we'll see you in 2020 for Manny Pacquiao. So, we'll see.
Manny Pacquiao, Amir Khan, Saudi Arabia.
Oh, man.
That's what they're talking about. Khan got $7 million to fight Billy Dibb. So Manny Pacquiao and Amir Khan.
I don't want to see that.
20 million rupees each.
I wanted to see that maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Just not now. Now, you know, of course, there's stories and people saying Amir Khan had his way with Pacquiao or whatever the case may be. But, you know, that could just be gym talk, you know. But I don't want to see that fight.
And did we ever come to a decision? Is the VADA testing or not?
So, yeah, they're not doing VADA, but they're doing some sort of testing. The Nevada State Athletic Commissioner, was it Bob Bennett? He came out and said something about that they're doing a form of testing, but they're not doing a VADA testing.
I'm not even going to comment on that.
Yeah, you don't want Mike to blow up right now. That's why you guys got to listen to the show. If this is your first time listening to the show, you got to listen to the episodes and have Mike just blow up when we talk about testing. But you're right, though. Like, I mean, that just sounds, you know, it's going to make people question, well, what does that mean? Yeah. You know, but I mean, we know from years ago, supposedly, that especially when they were trying to make Pacquiao Mayweather, Pacquiao didn't like needles.
Yeah.
And he was like, I can't. He's like, it's like a psychological thing, I guess. Like, I don't want my blood drawn before the fight. I feel weak. I mean, that happens. Some people feel like that. But some people were giving him crap for that. Like, you know, it's not, you know, science doesn't, it's not like that. It's just like all in your mind. And, but I don't know. That was a big thing reporting, that was being reported the last couple of weeks. There's no VADA testing. And some people asked Pacquiao, because, you know, obviously he lives out here in LA. He runs the hills up in Griffith Park. And he said, no, yeah, we're doing testing. And I think they tried to ask him, was it VADA? And he was, you know, I don't know what he said, but
he probably said something along the lines of, I don't bother with the details.
Yeah, he's like, I just know I get tested. They show up.
Yeah, they just show up and that's it.
You know?
I go ask Sean.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm excited for that fight.
Gets uncomfortable, so he's just like, I don't speak English.
Yeah. He's like, I don't speak English.
And I tell you, Thurman is going to fight him from the outside, mm-hmm. right? Because I think that he feels that if he keeps him from the outside and he does the 1-2, you know, Manny has to constantly reset to come back in. But I think that Manny will show him too many angles where he'll combat that. And then I think he hurts him, mm-hmm. maybe knocks him down once, mm-hmm. maybe. But I think he ends up winning the decision.
That's a good way to end it, boys. It's a good way to end it. So, Abe, we appreciate you coming on. You know, of course, we all live in the Southern California area. So this is the boxing hotbed of the world. I don't care what anybody says. It's not the UK, Mike. So you can't fight me on that. But yeah, like I said, we were here on location for the Vargas Camedo fight. But my favorite fight of the night, like I mentioned, De La Hoya Rios. That was a man, that whole fight up until that point, up till the knockout, that was exciting the whole time. But like I said, Abe, thanks for coming by.
I appreciate it.
Go ahead and plug whatever you got. NYFights.com, your social media.
NYFights.com is the site. At AbeG718 is the Twitter. You know, I also run the NY Fights Instagram, so at NY Fights on IG. And just check us out. And we have, we do coverage from, you know, overseas to West Coast, East Coast. You know, we've got guys everywhere. So Mike Woods, chief and editor over there.
He's in New York, right?
He's in New York. Mm-hmm. So he's the man over there. He, you know, is backed by Everlast. So he's the man over there, and he does that. So, you know, just follow him at Woodsy1069 as well. So check him out.
Mike, you want to plug the show?
We'll be back tomorrow, the usual weekly podcast on a Monday, and you can find us at The Last Round 12 on Twitter, at The Last Round 12 on Instagram.
Cool. So once again, I'm Danny Z. For our guest, Abe, from NYFights.com, for Michael Shepard, this is The Last Round.
Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media. Rate, review, and subscribe. This is The Last Round Podcast.